welcome to the Tuesday Sports Time, the Bulldog Hour. Riley alongside, we will take you to three. Normally, we would hand it off to our terrific friend, Phil Venati, our scouting show behind the bench. But Phil is off today, as he was yesterday, back with us tomorrow. And I do want to mention tomorrow, we will not be on the air with this show only because the Giants have an afternoon game at home to wrap up that series with Milwaukee. I'll tell you all about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering. Mind you about it every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedules, I will tell you about the longtime fundraising that Ed has had for his alma mater, Fresno State, one of the chief benefactors through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, where the goal has always been to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. We'll tell you more about it a little bit later on. Jackson with me today, the first of two visits with our de facto co-host, back with me again on Friday, and a lot to go over, a lot of emails, a lot of other questions that have come up just in the process of the normal sports cycle, including want to ask Jackson about the Notre Dame deal now after $17 million, the landmark for the patches for Ohio State, now a $20 million deal. SoFi Technologies jumps in for Notre Dame, and the inequality continues. So we're going to talk about that and a variety of other things, including Fresno State basketball and football with our de facto co-host in just a couple of minutes. But as is the case every day, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, beginning with our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I might have been to do work even during COVID. Just great people to be around, and they certainly are very competitive with their pricing and very timely with anything you need in regard to Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. Give them a call, 825-5337 for more information. That's 825-LEES or LeesAir.com on the web, where you can schedule your appointments there. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. Mark that down, because that's how you can reach Gonzo in the morning, Phil in the afternoon, and how our guests come up on air. The Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as forecast goes, starts out good. Doesn't end great in the 7 day. We're still pretty good today. It was actually pretty cool last night. And at least in the northwest part of town, we didn't get a lot of the smoke that we've gotten from some of the fires up in Merced County, et cetera, which was a problem about 3 or 4 days ago. 99 today after a pleasant mid-60s overnight. 68 the low, and then we go 101 tomorrow as we start to amp up. And those lows start to move into the mid-70s, and that's when it gets tricky. It'll be 72 the low tomorrow, so not too bad. Then we start the hot streak beginning on Thursday of 104, a 106 Friday, 107 on Saturday, and the low by the time we roll into Saturday to Sunday at 76 degrees, so not a lot of cooling. And then we go 106 on Sunday, 104 on Monday, and the extended continues around 106, 107. We'll see how that verifies. But the 7 day, typical this time of year, and as we've talked in this town, the end of July into that start of August is usually the hottest time of the year, and it's certainly proving out right now. The winds will be up around 10 miles an hour. So the usual proviso, be careful out there, and obviously watch the smoke, because it can be a real problem if you have respiratory issues. And around the waterways, as we remind you all the time, enjoy the backyard pool or the lakes. Stay away from the rivers, because the current moves a lot more quickly than you think, and it's a lot colder. And we hear every week about somebody or bodies that tried to push the envelope and it didn't work out well. That's the warning. Enjoy the weather. Stay cool if you can. And we thank everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time again. LeesAir.com, 825-537. Lee's Air.com. You can schedule on the web or give them a call directly at that number, and we'll again tell you about the Lee's Air hotline a little bit later on. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend and longtime benefactor at Fresno State, and longtime terrific businessman in the area, and that's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. He allows me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. But first about Joe's business, 26 years now. He's had this outstanding business at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town. He hasn't been there the entire 26 years. He's been in business here. He's been over at Marty about the last 3 or 4 years. But you can check him out at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103, or give him a call, 266-7473-266-PIPE, or on the web, more information, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. Chemical hoses are always important for a lot of people from an industrial standpoint. You find everything there under one roof. If you have any kind of need around a valve in particular to keep things up and running, these are the guys to see, Joe and Gabe, because whether you're working around a plant, maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, maybe around a boiler, it could be at a dairy, most anywhere where you rely upon a valve for your productivity, if that valve starts to go down, your business can go down with it, and that catastrophic hit ensues to your bottom line. What Joe can do with this family-friendly undertaking is sit down with you, find out what the problem is, same-day service, same-day estimates. If it's a minor hit, get you up and running in a big hurry in a seamless fashion. If you've already taken the big hit, he will set about the course to get you back up and running as quickly as possible. It's not one of those impersonal voicemail tree routines where you can't talk to a human being. This is a guy who understands the face-to-face benefits. If you can't get there in person, he certainly can address things on the phone. If you have time after Joe takes care of your issues, what he will do is allow you a little bit of leeway to listen to him about Fresno State, okay, because Joe is impassioned about Fresno State. And so if you're there and Joe says, hey, sit down for a quick minute beyond what we're doing, it means he wants to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. It's a nice way of saying that if you go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com, you will see the donate link there. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation. For instance, BulldogFoundation.org has a link. They're coming off a very good year. They'd like to have an even better one coming up in this academic year. Under that header, you also have Club Red, which is where you can get involved if you're a former student-athlete. The major giving societies have their links right there. That would mean the Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle, and then under ways to give, you've got the Valley Co-op, the important matching funds entity, Valley Fueled, is there. And the sports clubs are there where you can give your money directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every week to talk basketball. He'll be with me Thursday this week because of the giant preemption tomorrow. Jack is an board of directors there, the timeout club, and he said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much to join. It's a real nice social organization, and get a lot of inside info during the meetings from the coaches. So give him a call for more info, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Or hit him up on his email, furtigjack@aol.com. There are links for other sports there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball. And there are men's and women's sports beyond that that are there for you under ways to give. And then finally, the singular header, more, is there for just that. More information for all events on campus, tickets and parking. Everything there, one-stop shopping at GoBulldogs.com. And the final reminder, as always, we are now the flagship again for Fresno State. This is our second go-around. The first one was 2013 to 2020. This one is even more directed at Fresno State for its benefit because it's a partnership between Chris and everybody at the station and the university. So Chris, Enrique, Ryan, Nico, everybody at the station, and then Saul and Garrett and the whole administration all working together with Bulldog Sports Enterprises to try to drive things forward at Fresno State. If you want more information, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Anybody who's in charge of the station, glad to talk to you about what you can do to benefit Fresno State. As we just mentioned a few minutes ago, and Joe Cruz understands this better than anybody, the arms race across the country, never mind what you're doing just in regard to everybody next to you in conference, that's always of primary importance. But the stark reality that when you're in the middle of trying to put together this Protect College Sports Act, whatever you want to call it, and you turn around, and like I said, Notre Dame can get $20 million a year over 6 years for patches on all of their uniforms for all their sports, just trumpeting something that's $3 million better than what Ohio State just talked about the other day at $17 million, you realize how critically important it is for the university to work a partnership with a media entity like 1430 so that you can try to move things forward, because you do not want to become a farm team. We talked about this in baseball, because you don't have a hard cap in baseball. The A's put a lot of great talent out there, and the Yankees just wait for that talent to mature, and then they buy it away from the A's. You don't want to turn into the AAA franchise of college sport and develop players and have them turn around and go somewhere where the money is that much greater. So it's just really important you take care of your own business here. You certainly worry about your conference, but you also worry about your student-athletes taking off to other areas with the P4s, and we've focused on the conference a lot, but it is important to make sure you're as close as possible to keeping up with the Joneses across the country. So anything you want, 1430ESPNFresno.com, or you can contact the university as well. And always start, if you can, at GoBulldogs.com. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now, on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our great friend and de facto co-host and king of the bark board, king of all these surveys, king of the media, king of ging, like I said, he took it from Paul Schaefer in 1982. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how old were you in 1982?
Negative 10.
Negative 10. And it's so impressive that at negative 10, you were that productive, all right? So I just good for you. That's all I can tell you. All right. Look, a lot to get to. I want to start here, Jackson, with the, I guess, information flow or lack thereof from the Bahamas. As I look this stuff up, and I know you have as well, we know the Bulldogs are going to play, talking about Vance Wahlberg and the basketball team, they're going to play 3 games in 8 days in the Bahamas. That's not the real benefit. The benefit, of course, is the 10 extra practices and the bonding that you can – I hope you could at some point, Jackson, take, if you're Vance, and proffer a wonderful agenda around that bonding that shows benefit in the future. That's the goal anyway, right? I think they could do that okay. But beyond that, those that are curious about the games, flow sports, which we talk about this during the softball season, water polo, a lot of others where flow sports for a fee has games. Flow sports is going to be there, but as I look at the manifest, and I know you looked at it as well, it really involves the major schools, and I'm talking about P4s, Arkansas, for instance, South Carolina, talking about SEC schools, et cetera. I don't see on that list any of the Fresno State games there. Have you heard anything different at all about that?
I have not. I've been looking. I know Flow Sports is streaming some of the games, and as mentioned, I haven't seen Fresno State. Not sure if it's because they were a late addition or because there's less of a demand in some of those other schools, but I have not identified any streaming options so far.
Yeah, like Arkansas has its announcers there to do its games through Flow Sports, so that will tell you. And you're right, the Bulldogs were a fairly late entity coming through this thing. The other thing, Jackson, when we talk, sort of money again has a lot to do with it, right? Walks, talks, and does handsprings. But the other thing is, and I think everybody who reads the board understands this, I don't know if folks in the general public have caught on to it, you're not playing one another as far as the colleges going in. You're playing local teams from the Bahamas. So on the court, I don't think it's going to be compelling action. It's more about how your team performs within the confines of your own expectation. Does that have a lot to do with it, that these aren't really, quote-unquote, competitive games, because Fresno State will not be playing Arkansas or South Carolina, et cetera?
Right, yeah, there's an impressive list of colleges going, but none of them are playing each other. They're all going to be paired against professional and semi-professional teams from international locations. And so it's kind of hard to judge what the results will be anyway, whether they're visible in some form or not. But yeah, it's mostly about, you know, your team. We've seen in the past, what, every 4 years or so, the basketball team would go make an international tour, and most schools would do that. And there's no restrictions anymore. You can do it as often as you want, and it also makes it tougher for the schools without a ton of money to expect to do that on an annual basis or at all in some cases. So it's nice to see Fresno State here get some donors to put the team on this trip and get this experience. And it's usually we've seen even teams at Fresno State in the basketball program that were recruited over 3 or 4 years basically before this new setup with the portal and NIL and everything, where a trip like this would do a pay off with a lot of dividends later in the year. So I think especially for all these newcomers, you see some videos from the social media, and it's just like, looks like a bunch of strangers in Fresno State jerseys. You just, you know, you're not familiar with all the faces and the names and everything quite yet, even if you've been following all the offseason movement. But for them to get this trip and to work together, play together, I don't think the full 15 players are all together, but the majority of them are going to get this chance to bond a little bit and gel and learn the system and get a jump start on the season.
Yeah, I think Vance had mentioned, right, the European players, the vast majority will not be ready to participate right now. And by the way, talking about Joe Crew, Joe was a fine basketball player at Santa Barbara CC, so I'm wondering, you think at a somewhat advanced age, albeit younger than me, not by much, I might add, but he is younger than me, you think Joe is going to channel his inner Frank Carbajal and maybe run the point? So we're going to see him out there. Is that a possibility, Jackson? What do you say?
Well, to my understanding, they've got some point guards, but they're a little shy on centers on this trip. So maybe if Joe wants to go in the post.
You want to do the Bobby Knight line and play him at center, the old Michael Jordan Bobby Knight line, right? That was with Portland, if you remember, when Bobby Knight called Stu Inman, the general manager, and said, draft Michael Jordan. He said, well, we've got Clyde Drexler, we don't need a two guard, we need a center. And he said, well, draft him and play him at center then. So, all right, Joe, if you're out there, you've been drafted, you're going to play at center. I can't wait to see that. Look, I hope people do get a chance to check some of it out. It's unfortunate that they don't at least have an announcer-free stream for the rest of the games. I understand that Flow Sports is a money-making proposition. I'm an auto racing fan. I don't need to tell you how much they want just to watch midgets. Those are the cars I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be politically insensitive, all right? Sprint cars and midgets out there, all right? I know how much they want all summer long to watch super modifieds, which we used to call hard tops. So I guess, Jackson, unless they're going to make money, they're not putting those games up, even though since they're there video-wise, they could just stream those things pretty easily without having to bother about much production, right?
Yeah, you would hope, and you would imagine there'd be some takers out there. There's got to be quite a few Bulldog fans that want to get a look at this, but I would expect some things to come out of this. You know, it used to be the exhibitions in the preseason were incredibly private, and a lot of these international tours you wouldn't hear much about, but we've been seeing a lot of box scores make their way public some of those games in the last couple of years, so you know, hopefully if it's not on camera, we'll maybe get some statistics or an idea of who's doing well.
Well, Jack will be with me on Thursday, and I'm sure he'll talk to John Welch and see what's going on. Final thing basketball-wise, has that final roster spot been solidified, Jackson, as far as you know?
Not solidified yet. I'm hearing it's close. Probably when we get back from this trip to the Bahamas, I think they'll get in the paper and announce that. Hopefully, if everything goes as planned, it's always more difficult than it would appear on paper. But looks like they've got their last guy. They're trying to add a center to the roster. But they've got two true centers so far, and they'd like a third. I think they've got a guy, but not quite signed, sealed, and delivered yet.
Well, it was good to talk basketball, at least for a while. We'll certainly be doing that every week with Jack, and you and I will work it into the football conversation. But I do want to ask you football-wise here before we address some of the other issues. Richard Marshall was, and you and I have talked about this before, was a great, great player at Fresno State, one of the best corners that this university has ever seen, and had a very good NFL career. And his son is a legacy offer right now 6'3". I know he's going to fill out. He's around 165, 170. He's only a sophomore, for goodness sake. But I know this. While he has said it's a dream come true, and we talked about this a while back, a lot of schools, major schools, are coming his way, particularly West Coast schools. What do you make of this, Jackson?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always exciting to be in the running. It's, a lot of these cases, you don't know whether you get even a chance, or maybe even if you do, if it's genuine. But you know, it seems like he is very open to the idea of coming to Fresno State. He's got a lot of big offers already, even just going into the sophomore year. You know, he mentioned a few of those schools are pretty intriguing to him, including Nebraska, where he has a cousin on the roster, and Arizona had a bunch of defensive back draft picks, and he's trying to get to the NFL. Oregon's another school that's offered him that he's high on, and Miami offered him right around the same time Fresno State did. So kind of shows you the options he already has on the table. Still very early. You know, you never know 2 years from now which of those schools are going to continue to pursue him, or if it might even get more crowded, but we'll see. I think not only having Richard Marshall as a father, but his mom also being a former women's basketball player for Fresno State. Hopefully, between the two parents, there's some influence there to be a Bulldog. And it was neat to see. He had told me it was a dream offer, and then the offer did come pretty shortly after that. And just hearing, knowing that you know, the resources his family has and everything his father accomplished, you know, there's not so much riding on NIL as there is for a lot of student athletes. So he's kind of got the luxury to just try to find the best fit and not take the biggest offer if his recruitment continues to blow up. So it would be a really neat story, a very interesting athlete, that being that young and that tall, even if he was graduating at that size, that would still be pretty big for a cornerback. So see if maybe he grows into a safety or a hybrid DB, or maybe even get in the box by the time he fills out. It could be an interesting one. But yeah, no matter what becomes of him, he would be a tremendous asset for Fresno State.
Interesting you say that. You and I have not talked about this specifically, about position, but if he does continue to grow at the pace he's at right now, a guy like Charles Haley comes to mind, the elephant position, right, playing on the edge, also being able to go inside and being a real house wrecker out there. And if that's the case, that's the good news, bad news. The good news is he could be an unbelievably impactful player. A Lawrence Taylor type of impact out on the field, the way Haley had that impact as well, winning the Super Bowls with the 49ers and then the Cowboys. But it also makes it, Jackson, more and more difficult in this day and age. And we talked about it with Ron Rivers and all the legacy that came through with sons and daughter, that, again, the financial wherewithal was there, so you didn't have to chase NIL. But we also know if you get into a position where you're looking at seven figures to go somewhere, that's hard to turn down, isn't it?
Certainly. And it'll be interesting to see how his recruitment plays out. You mentioned Ron Rivers and Ronnie. Ronnie had such a great Bulldog career, but he was in a stage where he didn't have many options, and he wanted to be a Bulldog, and the staff before Tedford didn't seem to be too interested.
That's correct. So,
you know,
too
thankfully,
small.
Thankfully, the right guy got in there at the right time, and it all came together, and history was made not long after that. So Xavier, though, is going to be on the other end of the spectrum. It's going to be tough to beat out with all the offers he's getting, but just having that connection, it puts you in the race for a player that you would normally not even have a chance to be in the conversation for.
You know, it's that situation, by the way, about size, Ronnie Rivers, with his time with the Rams, was 5'7 and a half going in, but 205 coming out. And we knew Ron Rivers very well as a player here. And Ron Rivers, 5'8 and about 230. And that made him one of the great, not only outstanding runner, but one of the great blocking backs you're ever going to find. He and Lo Neal are guys, although Lo obviously bigger physically. But there was nobody saying in Detroit that Ron Rivers was too small at 5'8, 230 pounds. Also, you know who wasn't saying that? Corners that had to stand up when he was coming through, or linebackers or free safety saying, we don't want none of the 5'8, 230-pound boulder coming at us. So I'm just saying that you're right. It's completely different with Marshall's son, but Ron Rivers, prove that the size, the height had nothing to do with it. Ronnie, obviously, not quite as physically large, but 205 was still very viable during his time with the Rams. All right, that having been said, Jackson, I do want to ask you in regard to these patches one more time. If we get this legislation and the odds of anything from a meaningful legislative standpoint coming between now and November is about a billion to one. Everybody knows how fractured the country is politically. Also know a lot of people are worried about losing their seats, period, right now. So I cannot see Cruz, Cantwell, anybody being able to get this thing through right now. However, if they do, what happens to the 20 million, 17 million, et cetera? Does that preclude then a school? And this is the tricky legalese. I keep telling you about lawyers that will do this to you every time, right? If you have a budget of $20 million about direct payments, if that's what it is, I think it's supposed to be $20.5 million, $20.5 million. Jackson, if it's spread out over all the sports, does it then break down like $1.4 million per, even though you know that football is actually of greater benefit to the sponsorship? How do you delineate something like this?
That I'm not sure. I know, at least from the football standpoint, we're just seeing these deals starting to come to light now that it's almost football season. We got to get it done. And it's been interesting to see the market that's been set. Notre Dame here getting the top deal with that known so far, close to $20 million per year. I mean, that's just wild. And the gap between
over 6 years, by the way, schools. So roughly $120 million.
If you look around the Pac-12, I believe Washington State's in the ballpark of like $1.5 million per year on the deal they got for their jersey patches. I know Fresno State's got something in the works. I don't know what the dollar figure is going to be, but you know, it's just another category where the gap is extremely wide between the Pac-12s and the Big Tens and even the Notre Dame independent route. However they want to divvy up the money, you know, those schools got a lot to go around, and now they got even more. But I guess for Fresno State, you have that added some avenues here when you're kind of desperately looking for some of them to try to keep up.
SoFi Technologies, that's the company that made the deal with Notre Dame. I think people are very familiar with that particular entity. And then for Ohio State, it was just a couple of days ago that they talked about J.P. Morgan Chase, again, well aware of that, and the $17 million deal for all 36 of the Buckeye teams. And as you and I have talked repeatedly, even if you put some sort of meaningful cap on that, it doesn't account for NIL monies being brought in separately by sponsorship from benefactors somewhere that might have a business. And one more time, Jackson, they continue with the rhetoric that if they can get this committee empowered enough to have legislation, to codify legislation, so statutes are there making it tougher for a lawyer to get rid of it in court, a very friendly, talk about home field advantage, very friendly court, right, as we found out in the case of Texas Tech. You're in a situation where you can't stop those monies anyway. And even if they want to say, well, we don't see where this student-athlete really benefits that particular commercial organization, how do you prove that, Jackson? If you've got a business, and even everybody in the world knows that you're doing this not because you think this young man, who's probably new to your community, is of name recognition benefit. One more time, that was supposed to be the idea of this, right? The O'Bannon brothers not liking their name and likeness being used in video games. That was there by deed. They had done things on the court that they felt put them front and center, and they should be compensated. Fair comment. But if it's someone who is unknown in the community, but a benefactor who has a business, decides to throw money at them, how do you prove, Jackson, that that isn't a benefit to that particular company? I don't know how you get through that slippery slope. I just can't see it.
Yeah, I don't think you can. And I think as soon as this whole, you know, all these dominoes started falling, you saw the car dealerships in Miami finding a way to sponsor as much of the team as they could and get cars to players and whatnot. So it's been there from the start, and it still hasn't been able to be put back into the box. Even the whole idea of collectives is rather unusual for what this was intended to be. So we don't seem to be anywhere near finding a way to make the rule as it was intended to be. And there's just so much money flying around. It's with so many loopholes. There are some areas where it feels like they can clean some things up, but there's just no way that I see in the near future to fix stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that is part of the issue that we have now, and for the billionth time, it's unfortunate that the NC2A didn't get off the golf course, the administrators, 40 years ago, and figure out to get out front of this, because the courts would have been much more cooperative, which means the lawyers would have been much more reticent to go after it if they would have decided to compensate athletes fairly to begin with. They let the pendulum swing too far in one direction to their benefit. And if anybody's learned anything about the old line that those ignore the past are doomed to repeat it, invariably it swings too far the other direction. And that's what's happened now. And I don't know that we can ever get to the center of this. Before we do that, we're probably going to see the breakaway. And that's basically what the SEC and the Big Ten are saying, mainly the SEC. But they're essentially saying, you don't put the rules in the way we want them, then we'll just grab our toys, take our networks, and go away and play ourselves. And I know that, you know, Robert, you made a comment about that I'll try to get to later in the week, but it's going to be very, very difficult to stop that if they decide to do it, because the money is going to follow the big-name schools. Want proof of it? The patches for Notre Dame and Ohio State that we just talked about. Jackson, one thing I want to address today, and of course you and I will talk on Friday. We may talk on Thursday, depending how Jack feels. We'll see after he wraps up a surgery he has to have on Thursday morning. I wish him well. The question Paul G., our good friend from Paso Robles, had, and I'm sure he's cringing right now because I basically guaranteed that his beloved Rams would win the Super Bowl if Aaron Donald comes back to play, and he knows I'm attempting the kiss of death, but in reality, Paul, I'm serious about this, unfortunately. But he brought up what we have talked about before, and I brought it up again last week, Jackson. Cal and Stanford, the last to leave, if you will. You talk about the last to know it's raining and the first to get wet. Cal and Stanford were the ones who essentially caused the ultimate implosion in the Pac-12. Yes, it started with SC and UCLA leaving, but as we talked, the others were going to stay together. You and I had this conversation over and over again. They were going to stay together as a 10-team grouping, which is what they were after the Pac-8. They became the Pac-10 with the two Arizona schools for a number of years, and then became 12 when they added Colorado, jumping in Utah. And, of course, at that time, Limo Larry Scott, the commissioner, was talking about bringing Texas and Oklahoma in and all that grandiose idea that went right out the window. But what you had 10 schools that were going to stay together. They were still under contract to ESPN. And as we talked, ESPN said, listen, we'll give each of you $30 million a year to stay with us. So there's $300 million for the 10 of you. And that will be a multi-year contract. What we want, however, is the Pac-12 network, which did not have success. They couldn't even get cable and satellite carriers. They couldn't even get on the DirecTV when DirecTV was a part owner for a while in that entity. And the schools, as our friend Scott Barnes said, were 10 minutes away from signing off on that deal when Cal and Stanford were the ones that jumped in, econ professors, and said, no, we have figured out, pen to paper, that the Pac-12 network requires us to get $50 million a year instead of $30 million a year per school. And that's when ESPN said, listen closely to this dial tone, because that's what you're about to hear on this conference call, and we're not calling you back. And that's when the four corner schools took off, and you brought it up. You had schools like Arizona State. They didn't want to leave because their president was going to be the head of this 10-school setup. Utah did not want to go somewhere where BYU was always already there. It was a very reticent departure, but it had to happen. And, of course, that's when Oregon and Washington said, we need to go. we need to leave now and head on out and form that outpost on the west for the Big Ten. And what you ended up with, four teams left standing, Cal and Stanford, Oregon State and Washington State. And we talked about the near thing for Cal and Stanford. Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, had the straw vote. He was smart enough not to take a formal vote. He had the straw vote, and every time he had the straw vote, they were one vote shy of Cal and Stanford coming in. Finally, he was able to twist the arm of the president of NC State, who normally NC State always fell in line with UNC, with North Carolina. But what Jim Phillips was able to do was to say, North Carolina is one of the four schools, along with Clemson, Miami, and Florida State, that are looking to break away, if they can, and join the Big Ten and the SEC in whatever form. And that meant NC State said, for their survival, they will approve Cal and Stanford. Okay. Paul G. asked, what happened if that vote didn't go Cal and Stanford's way? They would have been forced back to the pack. Would they have denied Fresno State the entrance? Would they have said, no, we don't need more than four schools, and Fresno State is not going to be one of them, Jackson? Or would they have diminished so much their standing with Washington State and Oregon State that they wouldn't have been able to bully their way as the kingpins they've always been in the conference? What do you say about this, since you were a guy who did publish those boards for a number of years for Cal and Stanford?
Yeah, I mean, my assumption would be that they would do what they could to try to keep Fresno State out. Even talks before, when the pack was even stronger, before they got down to the four teams, there was talks about, you know, an easy plug in the Fresno State and San Diego State, and then that kind of dissipated, and you heard teams like Rice being discussed and some academically more inclined programs, right, despite geography, despite athletic department success. And so it almost feels like those two programs would have come close to throwing in the towel in a lot of ways if they had gotten down to that point. I think they were going to get into a situation like the ACC as hard as they could scratch and claw their way in. And as mentioned, it was very close to not happening.
That's my question to you. Would Stanford have gone independent and then forced Cal in that situation, hat in hand, to come back because they'd have nowhere else to go as a public institution, and then they would have been outvoted 2-1 by Ohio State, by Oregon State and Washington State? You were around Stanford. Was it their intent that if they didn't get into a major conference, they were going to go independent?
I don't know if they got that far along, but I could definitely, they would have definitely preferred that option if it was viable. I know they've got a lot of sports. It would have been very complicated, and maybe they could have parked the Olympic sport somewhere, but certainly for football, it would have made a lot of sense. I know they've got some connections with the Big Ten, and had all this gone down maybe 10 years earlier when Stanford football was really rocking, maybe they'd be the school in the Big Ten rather than Washington or someone like that. But I think they would have figured out a way to exist outside of the Pac-12. I don't think Cal would have had the same luxury.
All right, look, we're out of time today. This is to be continued. And, Paul G., I appreciate the question. Obviously, the flip side of all of this, and everybody's well aware of it, if Cal and Stanford never would have pulled what they did about the demand for the extra money, and the Pac never would have imploded, Fresno State would have been in the Big 12 for better or worse right now. And I bring that up because the Cody Campbells of the world have really upped the ante in the rest of the Big 12 right now. But Jackson, the last thing for today, if right now Cal and Stanford, never mind SMU, that was a whole different situation, they strictly bought their way into the ACC. Cal and Stanford came in now at diminished payout by the conference, but not a freebie the way SMU is for, 7 years, whatever it is. If for some reason they have to leave the ACC administratively, what happens out here? I know they're welcomed back by Oregon State and Washington State, but they don't have the clout to do anything about the Fresno States of the world right now, do they? Not in this particular
right
alignment.
Yeah, it's the ideal situation you're in for Fresno State, and maybe they come back. That would be obviously an awesome situation. Had they not left, they could have blocked Fresno State from getting in. So that's really the only path to those schools coexisting. And hopefully, for Fresno State's case, something like that happens. Maybe at Cal more so, but at least it's something that's on the table.
So if you're Oregon State and Washington State, do you say, you don't have the cards? You just don't have the cards? Is that what you do? Is that what you say? Don't you dare. Okay. It was just a thought, and that chuckle tells me that you're way too smart to head down that road. And even I'm smart enough to leave that alone and jump on out of here. Jackson, I appreciate it. On the board, I know there's a lot going on, some great features. Oh, what special do you have right now?
Yeah, it's currently 50% off a year. If you'd like to join and get in, as we head into fall camp here next week, it's coming up. We're previewing all the position units, introducing some of the new players, some one-on-one interviews. So I hope people head over to barkboard.com and join with that special. It's a little over $5 a month per year, or $5 a month for the year to join. That locks you in for the full 2026 season and the following off season too.
Tremendous deal. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk Friday. If Jack Purdy is not feeling well after his cataract surgery on Thursday, and Jack, we wish you well, I'll give you a call. Otherwise, I'll talk to you on Friday. Always appreciate it, my friend.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. To back to co-host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Again, take him up on his offer. It's a very, very good one for those that want to follow Fresno State. Nobody does it better than Jackson. Take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule. Normally we'd hand it off to Phil. Today it'll be back to the national net. Phil will be back with us tomorrow. Take a break on this Tuesday. The Bulldog Hour continues on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. About 2:52, about 3 minutes ago in the show. Thanks again to Riley for his great work on the board. And thanks as always to our longtime and outstanding de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Phil will be back with us tomorrow. I want to tell you about the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of another good friend, and that is Ed Dunkel in his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Again, through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, Ed does such great work to benefit Fresno State financially. The goal always to unify athletics and academics, to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads go to work for Ed at Precision, one of the very best civil engineering companies you're going to find anywhere in the world. And he does, along with everybody there, such great work across the valley in his particular business. As far as the lineup goes tonight, the Giants game two against Milwaukee, Giants winning last night with a shutout. Malley looked really good, but only the Giants this year. One step up, two steps back. Casey Schmidt, who's had probably the best year of anybody in the team outside of Arise, who was almost assuredly going to be moved now, unfortunately, because of his free agent status. Casey Schmidt bloops a hit into right field, should have been good news, and hyperextends his knee, turning first base. And last I heard, they were still awaiting results of the MRI. So who knows? And this is just how it's gone for the Giants. Trading deadline coming up. You can bet Arise is going to be moved, even though he's had a great year. And Robbie Ray is going to be moved. Buster Posey says that Logan Webb will stay. We'll see. Been a very, very tough year for the Giants. They and the Brewers continue tonight again. Another 6:45, 6:15 pre on 1430. The A's lost a close one last night against the Red Sox to overrun 790. And again, Sacramento being taken over by Red Sox fans. What else is new? That'll be a 6:05 pre and a 6:40 first pitch over on 790. Regular shows normally fill 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with this great show behind the bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture, our good buddy Rod Avedikian, another terrific benefactor throughout the valley. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Phil's show, of course, there on Thursdays, El Paso across from River Park, and some good eats as well. And I believe that the clearance sale, overstock clearance sale, is still going on right now at Fashion Furniture. Gonzo in the morning, 6, 8, and 9, 8, with his great show, Valley Rise Show. Both he and Phil can be reached on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has an outstanding show on Saturday mornings from First Ring Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. Check that out. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1@att.net, T-D-A-D, the number one at att.net. As usual, I'm backlogged on emails. I'll do the best I can to catch up over air. Final reminders again, everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcast there. One more time, as we look forward to September 4th and the beginning of the Bulldog season, and once again, this station and 790 being the flagship for Fresno State Athletics, both men's and women's. Keep in mind, anything you can do to benefit Fresno State, Bulldog Sports Enterprises, that means Chris, Ryan, Enrique, Nico, everybody at the station, and then Saul and Garrett and everybody administratively at Fresno State, they would love to hear from you. 1430ESPNFresno.com, you find more information. Thanks to Riley. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We will see you guys on Thursday. The Giants have our slot tomorrow. This is KFIG Fresno.